Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, thank you so much for watching, listening, sharing the podcast. And of course, we always are blessed by your prayers and keeping us going financially. I want to read a few headlines to give you an idea of where we're going today. Basically, Seth Gruber is going to finally tell us what he really thinks today. So here's a couple of headlines to think about. One, insiders worry, have Democrats gone too far on abortion? Did that hurt them in the last election? We can talk about that maybe. Also, there's a possible resolution out of the Southern Baptist Convention. They would condemn chemical abortion and urge the FDA to suspend approval and reinstate safeguards. Whenever I see that, I'm going, okay, safeguards for chemical abortion? That doesn't make sense. But here's the one that I'm really interested in, and it's over at The Federalist. In the new big beautiful bill that they're talking about in the Trump administration and Congress, GOP budget would finally defund Democrat mega donor Planned Parenthood. Now, we've seen headlines like this before. Well, I'm not going to hold my breath, but I want to get Seth's take. Seth has been on the podcast before. Brother, he's done so much great work for the life, pro-life community. He founded the White Rose Resistance in 2022, and that has quickly become the fastest growing pro-life ministry in America. And he's trying to wake up the church, especially when it comes to the truth from God's word on creation and preborn human lives in mother's womb. Seth Gruber, welcome back to Worldview Matters. Good to see you.
Thanks, David. You too. Appreciate you.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate you so very much. And I want to just first ask you about an event coming up next month, The Stand. It sounds awesome. Jack Hibbs, Riley Gaines, there's music. What's that all about at Calvary Chapel, Downey, California?
Yeah, it's called The Last Stand. And David, it's also the name of my next film, which is in progress right now. I'll get you a teaser, sneak peek trailer to that soon. I just got back from a couple trips to Rome, Paris, and London. So the three great cities of history. But the name of our event is also called The Last Stand. And it's because we're in a season of The Last Stand, David. Well, what do I mean by that? You don't sexually mutilate the next generation, slaughter children in the name of radical feminism, let three gay dudes who call themselves married raise children, rent a poor woman's uterus, and bring children home to deny them any mother whatsoever, and also get to keep your country and get to keep your civilization. Okay. J.D. Unwin wrote this great book called Sex and Civilization, or Sex and Society, Sex and Culture, years ago. And he found a 100% correlation between sexually debauched, crazy, out of control cultures and cultural decay, like lose your civilization forever.
Yeah.
And he also found a 100% correlation between sexual, monogamous, heterosexual, marriage-based cultures and cultural advancement. It doesn't take a Christian to acknowledge this. I'm speaking purely from observations of history. And he studied like thousands of civilizations over a 5,000-year period. So whether the left likes it or not, okay, this is just a truism. This is just part of human nature. It's how we operate, because you live in God's world, and eventually you're going to have to abide by his rules as much as you try to liberate yourself beyond the constraints of human nature. The bottom line is, when you go down the path America's going down right now with like the choices we're making, our laws, how we treat our children, the endangering of women and children with abortion, with trans stuff, with the sexualization, with you can't even compete in a swim match or get undressed in your locker room afterwards because maybe a dude's on the swim team. Like all this kind of stuff, not to mention the sex trafficking and 330,000 children missing. But like you go down that road, you will lose your civilization. All right. That's what's happened to every civilization. You don't have to believe in God to acknowledge this. And so the last stand season we're living in, David, might be 5 years. It might be 8 years. It might be 40 years. I don't know. But we all sense, don't we, that if we continue making the decisions we're making and continue going the direction we're going in America, yes, eventually we will go off a cultural cliff that we will not climb out of.
Yeah.
And if America falls, I think it's safe to say, although with Giorgia Meloni is kind of a baller and what she's doing, turning Italy right side up, maybe there's hope for Western civilization. But usually we believe, and with good reason, that if America falls, Western civilization's over. Ronald Reagan called America the last great hope on earth. Obviously, Jesus Christ is our king. He's the only hope. But America's the last best hope on earth for human flourishing, the protection of women and children, and a healthy society. And so we're parroting that this is a season of the last stand, and Trump is not a savior, actually, David. He's a tourniquet. And listen, I voted for him.
Yep.
Thank God we didn't get Jezebel Harris as a president. But the point is that Trump is a tourniquet, and a tourniquet helps stop the bleeding. And that's really good, right? When you stop bleeding. But I wouldn't want to wear a tourniquet for 4 years. That would be really frustrating to wear a tourniquet on a wound for 4 years. I would want to kind of get healed up and restored and like back to business. So Trump is this strange, like providential, like window of mercy from the Lord, actually, because it was him or Jezebel Harris. So he's like this window of mercy where the church has some time to maybe wake up, withhold some evil, and ultimately prayerfully get back to our business. Our spiritual mantle is the church of Christian resistance. And the church has always been defined until maybe the last 125 years or so, David. The church, it was always defined by its resistance and opposition to evil, particularly when it comes to the murder of babies, abortions, which, I mean, the early church was standing against abortions like 2,000 years ago, David. Like, abortions are not new. They've just never been as well-funded and popular as they are now, but they've always been around. The sexualization of children, like the raping of little boys and girls who were treated as the sexual gratifications of perverted adult males, and the abuse of women and the sexualization and rape of women. All these kind of evils, which used to be, what's this? We have forgotten our history. Gosh dang it, David. Christian, we're so fat on liberty and American freedoms that we forget it's the exception and not the norm.
Yes.
The norm is all of that stuff is not just legal, it's culturally respectable. I love this point Tom Holland makes. Where's my book? I left it at home. Tom Holland, who's not a Christian, wrote this book called Dominion, the Shaping of the Western Mind or something. And he basically argues for Christianity as a positive good. And he says that concepts like the rule of law and the right to, or the sanctity of life, and these things, he's like, those ideas don't go back to the Greek and Roman philosophers. Those ideas go back to the New Testament. And under the Greek and Roman philosophers, they blithely tossed lives like dice, David. I mean, they would debate about the finer aspects of infanticide and child abandonment. And many of them thought that sodomy with little boys was something that adult males were entitled to, and that this was a good thing. Like, obviously, we get a lot of our traditions from the Greek and Roman philosophers, and there's some good things about that. But these people did not value the sanctity of life. They did not value the lives of the young, the vulnerable, the voiceless, the marginalized, the unloved, and the unlovely. It was Christianity, with its preaching of the sanctity of life and human beings created in the image of God, that turned cultures right side up. And you've got like atheists like Tom Holland from the UK, who doesn't believe in God, saying Christianity is kind of a good thing, and it gave us all of these things. And if we don't get back to that, we're kind of screwed in Western civilization. And I'm like, oh my gosh, amen. Can I find a pastor with as much testicular fortitude as this atheist UK author who's saying what every pastor in America should be saying? And it's not about the saving of souls, right? Like that's part of the role of the church. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that also we should like prevent people from murdering babies. Like we should safeguard marriage. Like we should overturn Obergefell. Like part of the role of the church is actually Genesis 1. It's the creation cultural mandate. Like, and what do we learn from those four verses in Genesis 1, the first stinking chapter of the Bible, David? Like if every pastor would just bring Genesis 1 into conflict with the demonic ideologies of the day, We could awaken most congregations in America in a matter of a year. It's not political. It's fundamentally biblical and theological. We learn that there's a sanctity of life, Imago Dei. We learn that there's only men and women, which Trump signing that executive order, David, was hilarious in January. He's like, there's only males and females. And this is based off of chromosomes, which is based off of the moment of conception. So whether he knew it or not, Trump was putting in place the political premises, David, to argue for the federal abolition of abortion. Because if males and females exist at the moment of conception, and that's a biological fact, then I I guess that means they're persons and they shouldn't be killed. Ooh. Number three, Eve is taken from Adam, so therefore marriage is only a man and a woman as his helpmate. So gay marriage is a misnomer. It's like saying you support gay marriage is like saying you support square circles. And then fourthly, in the marriage covenant of a man and a woman, you should have a ton of sex, and actually, like, you should spit out a bunch of little dragon slayers. Like, you should reproduce like bunnies and then raise little dragon slayers who fear God and God alone, and catechize them as little like ninjas to destroy the culture of death and slay dragons. And so that even if we lose in the next 30 or 40 years, David, and it seems like we're losing the civilization and culture forever, the way we win in the long term is we outbreed the left, because they're vaccinating, aborting, and transing themselves into extinction. And conservative Christians are having the most babies right now. So I say have five more babies, every Christian family, and then raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And in 40 years, we win by outbreeding them and raising righteous little dragon slayers who will stand against evil and protect the weak, the vulnerable babies in the family. So that's why we're doing the last stand. And we're doing it in June, David, to retake June as life month and not sodomy, anal sex, pride month, which we're told we have to celebrate, because Roe v. Wade got overturned in June. But it also got overturned on June 24th, which in the church calendar, watch this, is the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. So let's say this out loud really quick, David. Everyone join me. Evangelicals suck at the church calendar. Okay, we said it. Give the Orthodox and the Catholics credit when they deserve it. Speaking as an evangelical, we suck at the high holy days and the Christian festivals and feasts that most believers since Christ's ascension celebrated, or they created new Christian festivals and feasts. And one of those is called the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. And it's every June 24th, the day that Roe v. Wade got overturned. It's every June 24th. That has been for hundreds of years. And it's when we celebrate and remember, David, Mary going to visit her cousin Elizabeth.
Yes.
When she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, the prenatal John the Baptist, little voice in the wilderness as a fetus, starts doing backflips in the uterus because he recognizes the divinity and humanity of his prenatal deity, second member of the Trinity, God-man, who entered human history in a uterus, the greatest former fetus who has ever existed, to redeem man from their sins. But because Psalm 139 says that God knit you together in your mother's womb and you were fearfully and wonderfully made, and the doctrine of the incarnation means that Jesus is fully God and fully human, not from the moment of birth, that would be not following the science. He was fully God and fully human from the moment of conception, which is following the science, which means that is the creator of the universe in Mary's womb. And if God knits life together in the womb, and that is God in the womb, then that means that the prenatal deity, second member of the Trinity, fetal God-man, is knitting the prenatal John the Baptist together in the womb, while the creator is himself in a different womb in the same room, while the cousins are sipping back on tea and celebrating what God's doing in their individual uteruses, which means that the second member of the Trinity, prenatal deity, God-man, who once breathed out the flipping Milky Way, is now knitting himself together in the womb of a woman whose uterus he once knit together when he knit together Mary in the womb of Mary's mother.
Wow.
That's what we celebrate and remember every June 24th in the church calendar. Are you stinking kidding me? The death sentence of unborn babies got overturned on the day in the church calendar when we celebrate two unborn babies, one of whom is God, and we celebrate that the first person to recognize the divinity of Christ was a fetus, which is the Latin word for offspring or small child. Are you stinking kidding me? True. And then that evening in the night sky, there was a planetary alignment. Now, I'm not getting all weird on your audience. Don't hear, like, guys, don't. Seth is not saying go read the stars and see what God's trying to tell you. That's weird. That's weird stuff. Don't do that. But I'm just saying that's kind of cool. And the last planetary alignment was, I think, 2002 or one. It was like 20 years before. And they're pretty rare. So Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Venus, and one other. They all lined up in the night sky, visible to the stargazer by the naked eye, all lined up like this. The same day Roe v. Wade got overturned, in the evening right after twilight. And it was beautiful, right? And then a photo went viral of a planetary alignment taken by an astrophotographer. So astronaut, photographer, someone who takes pictures of space. And he took a picture of the planetary alignment capturing all five planets in one photo, and you can see them because they shine so brightly. And then this photo goes viral. I mean, it's shared on the internet like crazy because it's such a beautiful photo. Planetary alignments are super rare. Okay. The name of the astrophotographer, David, who took the photo of a viral planetary alignment on the day that Roe v. Wade was overturned, his name is Wright Dobbs. Wright Dobbs. Now, Dobbs, his last name is spelled D-O-B-B-S. Dobbs, well, that would be the name of the Supreme Court decision that had overturned Roe versus Wade that morning. on the same day. The name of the Supreme Court decision, guys, everyone just calls it Dobbs, but it's Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. That's the name of the Supreme Court case that overturned Roe v. Wade 8 hours before a astrophotographer took a photo of a viral planetary alignment. And his name is the same name as the Supreme Court decision. And then his first name's Wright. Wright!
Oh, my goodness.
Dobbs Wright, right? Dobbs, good. Dobbs was right. Right, Dobbs. So, listen, I know Jesus said it's a wicked generation who seeks for signs and wonders, right, David? Yeah. But as one Catholic priest, George Rutler, says, it's a stupid generation who ignores signs and wonders. And so they say providence is when God winks, as if to say, I'm still here. Now fulfill your duty to your king. June is life month, not because I say so, but because the creator of the universe says so. We're retaking June and commissioning the church, inspiring, mobilizing, and sending them to host life marches with our friends at Citizens for Life around the country every June in perpetuity until the Trump administration declares June as life month and causes the LGBTQ element of PIA, My Name is Legion, rainbow cult to start manifesting their inner legion, because gay sodomy month just became life month with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. But the point is this: my ministry actually needs to go away. That's actually my point. The time for hip, sexy, cool 501c3 organizations needs to go away, and we need to make the local church great again. Because the local church for 2,000 years was defined by their opposition to the same evils that we're told we have to be silent on or celebrate today, because the church is not called to be political. And somewhere in the early 1900s or early 20th century, the church traded their birthright for a bowl of porridge and decided somewhere around the fundamentalist modernist split, David, which we don't have time to get into all that. I'm watching your clock, but decided that they needed to be, very nuanced and winsome, sort of Tim Keller third wayism. And abandon a lot of the political fights that were actually Genesis 1 issues. They were kind of fundamentally theological and biblical, actually. And so it's no coincidence that a lot of the seeds of the destruction of the family we look at in America, David, like we can go back to Thomas Malthus. We could go back to the French Revolution if you'd like, and some of that insanity, which was really the first sexual revolution. We could go back to Thomas Hobbes and Leviathan. We could go back to Jean-Jacques Rousseau. There's a lot of tracing we could do and connect it all to today. But most people connect a lot of the really intense war against the family that's culminated in the culture we're living in today with the radicals at the turn of the century, in the early 20th century, that set the stage for so much of this insanity today. What I'm saying is that I don't think it's a coincidence that so much of the destruction of the family, babies, children, women, the young, the vulnerable, the sexualized, these evils, it's not a coincidence that it aligns almost perfectly with the retreat of the church from issues and battlefronts that they used to be defined in their opposition to.
Amen.
So we need to make the local church great again, and we need to make 501c3 organizations that are all sexy and well-funded and doing cool stuff actually not be so great. And so my job is to actually put myself out of a job and somehow inspire and mobilize the church to remember who they are and reclaim their spiritual mantle of how the church was always defined. Yes, the Great Commission, but also the cultural mandate in Genesis 1, so that local churches are fighting evil locally again, like they used to always do. And we don't need another nonprofit to do the work that the local church has always been called to do. So that's why we're hosting The Last Stand on June 21st, 2025, next month. You can go to thelaststand.com to join us, and you can use code, I'll share my code with you. You can use code Seth10. If you listen to my podcast, you know that, but Seth10 for 10% off your tickets. And it'll be one of those, prayerfully, if trusting God's blessing it, one of those moments that you'll be telling your children and grandchildren about for years. This is a Last Stand moment.
Amen, brother. Can you tell why I love this guy? Can you see? That's why I love having you on, Seth. You do great work. You're a straight shooter, straight talker. SethGruber.com, and also, friends, thewhiterose.life, thewhiterose.life, the White Rose Resistance. I've only got about a dozen follow-up questions, Seth, on your monologue.
There's of course.
But let's talk about this. Back to that article that I read the headline to. So the GOP, budget would finally, defund the Democrats' cash cow, Planned Parenthood. Yeah. I'm not holding my breath, but defund. Why are they still making, I believe, record number, record amounts of taxpayer dollars now they're receiving. And Roe v. Wade was overturned, but there are even more abortions now. Is the abortion pill, the abortion pill, is that a big reason for that? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct, David. We have limited time, but let's get into it. So, okay, listen, a lot of great things are happening under the Trump administration. No one's perfect. We're never going to get everything we want, but we should celebrate good victories, cheer them when they happen. So Trump and his administration hears what evangelical America likes. Well, true evangelicals, and not Big Eva, not Russell Moore and the SBC and the ERLC. They're all shepherds for sale, hireling sellouts and institutional managers and not Christian leaders. Go read my friend Megan Basham's book, Shepherds for Sale, if that comment just offended you. And then you can come tell David that you were wrong and that there's a big problem in Big Eva with institutional managers who don't care about the church and the unborn. Listen, we should celebrate good things, but the church just needs to be much louder, actually, David. Like, you know that evangelicals are the largest voting bloc in the country, right?
Supposedly.
And guess what? Yeah, they're the largest voting bloc. And guess what? They're the weakest voting bloc.
Yes.
So how does that make sense? It means, like, in numbers, we're the largest, but we don't show up. And we don't throw around our political weight because we've read too many Tim Keller books and Russell Moore books and Rick Warren books. And
Joel Osteen.
I'm not political. I just preach the gospel. I came across this great quote the other day, David, from a Christian thinker named Ranald Macaulay. And he said, the failure to properly relate the gospel commission of the New Testament to the cultural mandate, the creation mandate in Genesis, is what lies behind much of evangelicalism's current weaknesses and internal conflicts. In other words, it's like, you know, go to the ends of the earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And the church's like, okay, so our commission is evangelism and the saving of souls. Yes, but that's not the whole picture. As my mentor, Dr. George Grant, says, a lot of our problems are because we start our gospel at John 3:16 and not Genesis 1. Okay, like the cultural mandate still matters to God because he repeats it to Noah after the fall. Right, so would you fill the earth and subdue it, exercise dominion over all of creation? You're like, oh, whoa. Well, that's kind of a big boy gospel. That gets me a lot more excited as a male with a lot of testosterone that wants to destroy evil. I'm like, cool. So we preach the gospel, save souls, but we also get to, like, destroy evil and keep it at bay and protect the vulnerable. I'm like, that's cool. Like, why hasn't the church been preaching that gospel? So we need to be expressing that and be involved, because for too long, I think the GOP, which is a joke, has taken advantage of the evangelical vote because they're like, well, we know we'll always get it. Right, because we stand in opposition to the radical, demonic Democrat Party, which, by the way, like, Jesus is not a Republican or a Democrat. He's the king, so he is political because he likes a monarchy. But Satan is definitely a Democrat. Like, he has a D right before Beelzebub. Like, you know, so that's his party. Like, Satan's a registered Democrat. So, like, I think the GOP's taking advantage of that. And, like, well, we can do whatever we want because we'll always get the evangelical vote. And I think we need to start raising our voice more. Yes, let's defund Planned Parenthood, David. But, like, I'm reading this bill this morning as well. That would defund Planned Parenthood. Do you know what it says? This is what it says. This bill restricts federal funding for Planned Parenthood Federation of America or any of its affiliates or clinics for 1 year.
Oh.
So now, even under the GOP, which, you know, we had all three branches of government in Trump's first administration for the first 2 years, remember?
Yeah.
Didn't defund Planned Parenthood. Now everyone's like, yes, it's the new GOP, which I think we are starting to get some of that, by the way.
A little.
There's a reason why people go to Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA for endorsements and support and not the CPAC. My buddy Charlie at Turning Point USA has almost become the new GOP, almost the new CPAC. It's like fascinating. So I think there are things changing, which is good. But even now, when they try to defund Planned Parenthood, the bill says for 1 year. No, just for 12 months. It's like, what are you talking about? This is an organization that's the largest provider of the pornographic comprehensive sex ed in the schools. It's transing kids and teaching gender theory and cultural Marxism. That's Planned Parenthood, by the way. So they're not just an abortion organization. And we've talked about that with the 1916 Project. They're the second largest provider of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for America's gender-confused youth, and they're the largest abortion provider in the world. Okay, they should not be getting our tax dollars, but yes, it's because of the abortion pill, David. And so this is why next time you have me on, we'll have a more serious conversation about criminalizing abortion. So let's just really make people uncomfortable in the last 3 minutes. Every state in America, including the red states that have what we would maybe say, David, is good pro-life laws, like good pro-life protections, I'm here to say a hard word to your audience today, and I'll get pushback on this because a lot of lay conservatives don't understand the politics of this very well. It's not an insult. It's just the reality. Abortion's legal in every state in America. Okay. Now, what do I mean by that? 63% of the abortions, according to Planned Parenthood Statistical Research Branch, the Guttmacher Institute last year, are now RU486 abortion pills, medication abortion. 63%. Wow. How many babies were killed in 2023, the year after Roe v. Wade got overturned? Over a million. Then that's what was recorded, and it's always more because states are not required to report their abortion data, thanks to Bill Clinton. Right. So over a million babies were killed in 2023. So they said 63% of the abortions in 2023 were abortion pills, which, thanks to Biden, are now shipped through the mail via snail mail, and they arrive in a woman's mailbox. She takes the first regimen, then she takes the second, forces her uterus to have contractions to deliver sometimes not a dead, but usually a dead baby in the toilet. And the instructions on the abortion pill say don't look and flush. And so now there's studies showing that our water we're drinking has aborted fetal cells in some of it because our sewers run red with the bodies and blood of our children. So, like, you can't make America great again, actually. You can't MAGA when the sewers of America run red with the bodies and blood of our children. And so because of the abortion pill and because you can ship it, Texas, Tennessee, North Dakota, South Dakota, okay, the reddest states in the country, David, a mother can kill her baby with the abortion pill, and she is exempt from all criminalization or any type of legal action against her. Now, if she gives birth to a baby and chops the infant's head off or throws the child in the trash right after birth, that behavior is criminalized and she'll face legal penalties. But if she kills the same child 6 inches away in her uterus, she's the only individual in law in red states that is exempt from punishment. My point is this, wow. You'll never end abortion that way. You'll never end abortion that way because now we're going to be pushing 70% next year of abortions being a pill that's not regulated and there's no abortionist. The woman's doing it to herself. Yeah. So yes, let's defund Planned Parenthood. Let's raise our voices. But we have some big problems in front of us. Yes. And until the local church becomes great again and pastors find the testicular fortitude to preach the full counsel of God against demonic cultural evils and mobilize their congregations, the people of God, to tear down the high places and vote right, speak right, preach right, parent right, and take back their culture locally, then none of this is going away.
Big amen. I'm absorbing a lot of what you shared. I'm sure our audience is too. But thank you, brother. It's a lot of work, and one of your missions is to try to awaken the church. A lot of silent pulpits. Dietrich Bonhoeffer famously said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil." A lot of pastors hopefully are going to start waking up. But thank you for all you do, brother. Lord willing, we'll do this again in the near future.
Bless you.
Thanks, guys, for sharing the podcast. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.